Next Thursday, moose season opens. Well, for those who live in Game Management Units 17C and 17B. Other openings happen not long after that. That's a happy thing, for a number of reasons, some of which got mentioned last week on this show. For the entirety of my time in Dillingham, the 20th has been opening day. Back in my early years, working as a classroom teacher, the district would sometimes build in a day or two for teachers to be able to get out and try to fill their freezers. And I think that's a nice acknowledgement about where and how we live. Working for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has removed that barrier from my life, about oft-times limited hunting times during the fall seasons. And it's one of about a billion reasons why I like my job. I don't know how many people actually take the time to get out and look for a moose, but I suspect it's a pretty high number. Today, let's talk moose just a bit. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The attraction of moose is really pretty simple, isn't it? We have a lot around here, relatively speaking. They taste great, and are the healthiest game meat that you can eat, which is to say they are one of the healthiest meats going anywhere. Because they are big, even the small ones, a single moose can go a long way for a family over the course of a year. Really, I can't think of anything not to like. Moose are very much one of the blessings to living where we do. The science of it is that the moose is the largest member of the deer family in the world, and you could make a numbers-based argument for the fact that the moose around our part of Alaska are the largest and healthiest moose in the world. There is no mistaking a moose when you see one, and I have said 1,000 times that you really can't appreciate how large they are until you're standing beside one. All of the bulls I've stood by, put there by my own hand or by others, and I stand in amazement each and every time. But moose aren't just us. They're found in a lot of places around the northern hemisphere of our world, to include places like Russia, Canada, the lower 48, the Scandinavian countries, and smaller countries like Latvia, Estonia, and Poland. They are particularly big in the Scandinavian countries, both in numbers and in popularity. People often think of Alaska when they think of moose and moose hunting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But consider Sweden. Sweden alone has over 300,000 moose hunters. Or, put another way, 10 times the number of hunters we have in Alaska. They harvest 100,000 moose each year. Compare that with Alaska's annual harvest, which is often around 7,000 or so. Sweden actually has more moose die each year from traffic accidents than hunters harvest here. My point to that? We love our moose, and rightfully so, but we are far from alone in that. When you tell people a moose is big, numbers might help define that, but I really don't think most people can visualize all those numbers on the hoof. Adults can be over 6 foot tall at the shoulder, and even small adults will weigh 800 or 900 pounds. Large mature bulls will top 1,600 pounds. The antlers of that same mature bull will go 50 to 70 inches wide, and the antlers alone can weigh 50 to 75 pounds. The hindquarters on those bulls can weigh 120 pounds or more, each. The meat gotten from a mature bull runs around 550 to 600 pounds, or so I have read. I don't believe I've ever actually taken the time to weigh one of mine. I suppose it's good and proper, when considering hunting, to pay heed to the legality. Put another way, make sure you have a tag and a license, if you need one. I say if because there are a few exceptions for younger and older folk, and those on low income. My youngest daughter, for example, at 17, no hunting license is needed. Tags, however, are. Tags are a way the state stays on top of things, as far as harvest goes, so they can make informed decisions about seasons. Moose can be found in a lot of places around Alaska. There are very few places, actually. Some islands, way, way north and west, and far out on the peninsula, where they are not found. Some of those places are easy to access. Some require a bit more effort. I have a friend who lives outside Wasilla. A lot of stuff he does for giggles and grins. He posted photos recently of his yard. He put out a couple of cow decoys, again, for fun and to see what would happen. Well, guess what? He's had a 40-inch bull that's been hanging around his decoys and seems to be unconcerned about the two-dimensional aspect to his new lady friends. Some of the options up here, for finding moose include close to town, on foot, ATV, going up the lake system, or going up the river. Some people fly to where they plan to hunt. That certainly assures them of a bit less traffic. Again, moose are found in so many places that you probably have at least a chance to find one just about anywhere. A gear list when thinking about moose hunting can entail so many things, or precious few, depending on your hunting style. I vaguely remember having had an episode about assorted types of gear and keeping lists, so I won't go into any real detail. You have what works for you, just like I have what works for me. Some of the items on my list don't change, like the knives I use or the clothes I wear. Ditto my thermocells and other stuff like my toilet seat, camp chair, binos, and rangefinder. I enjoy trying new stuff, but stick loyally to things that have proven that they work. This year I'm going to be trying out a new tent. It's a teepee style. I have a lighter weight sleeping bag I bought, and I used it for a week in May. I like it a lot. Not sure that would have been true 25 to 30 pounds ago, but I've lost some weight, so for now, it's the bomb. One item I'll mention I used last moose season. A bunch of years ago, I read a story where a guy in Alaska used those plastic sleds. They're basically a sheet of thick, black, slick plastic with a harness to haul moose. I bought one, and it worked like a charm on the tundra for caribou. Well, I was coming off surgery last September, and I wasn't cleared to actually pack anything, so I took the sled to moose camp. Wow, did that work. I hauled out the two hindquarters from my buddy's bull, and it was a fraction of the effort of putting it on my back. There are places where it probably wouldn't be practical, but for the 150 yards from the kill site to the raft, it worked like a peach. What folks hunt with is a very, very personal thing, as far as a gun. Some people probably don't spend a lot of time thinking it through, and maybe it's a gun that's been around for a while. Some likely obsess over it. I think some people probably think they need more gun than they do, though if you shoot it well, more power to you. Far more important, in my humble opinion, is shot placement and bullet construction, the type of bullet that you actually have going for you in your cartridge. Also, time at the range to be certain of what your gun is going to do is critical. Oh, and I'd venture most people are hunting with guns. In fact, I'd guess bolt-action rifles to be the most prevalent form of weaponry used in the effort to procure a moose. There are probably a few others who use other things like bow and arrow or maybe muzzleloader or handgun. Whatever you use, practice ahead of time and be super comfortable with your weapon. Know it inside and out. Once you have a moose down, that's when the fun stops and the work begins, or so I've heard it said in many places and many times. It doesn't have to be that way. Sure, some situations sure could suck, like a moose that falls in the middle of a pond, or really crummy weather complicating the matter. I do think mindset is a part of it. I always feel so thankful when a moose is down because that means fresh meat. It's all a part of the process. And if you've heard me say it once, I've probably said it 1,000 times. I try never to take any of it for granted. Good knives, a friend with a good work ethic, the right tools, like that sled, all of those things can help make it an enjoyable part of the process. Find what works for you, and I'm pulling for you to be able to put those machinations into play. And then there's the part of success that happens at home. The last step, really. Getting it into the freezer or canning jars, or however you choose to keep your moose meat. Again, the right tools make a world of difference. For me, that's good help. Often my wife and kids, my buddy, his family. The right knives, a quality sharpener, the right tools for the job. For example, I can't remember life before we had our Cabela's meat grinder. A good vacuum packer or canner or both. It's all a part of that last stage, the finish to a successful season for moose. Oh, and another part of the end of the process. Don't forget to get that tag turned in or reported. And that's true whether you harvest something or not. Really, I guess maybe that's not the last stage to the season. The last stage takes place over a lot of months, as you get to enjoy that moose in the form of the many, many meals it provides. Yes, moose are an incredible animal, very iconic where Alaska is concerned. They are a huge blessing for those of us who live here. Another season is about to be upon us, an opportunity to get out and harvest exceptional food, and to have fun while doing it. For some of us, season will have opened by the time next week's episode airs, and other seasons will open very soon after that. It's likely some of you listening will be cutting up moose by the time next week's episode airs. For all who hunt, be safe out there, and good luck. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.